Production of Pipe Dreams is made possible in part by funding provided by Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, by a grant from the Mayhead Foundation, and by the support of listeners to stations in the Public Radio International network.
From Minnesota Public Radio.
I think that the most terrifying moments are in Handel, where it says, hear the organist plays an adagio, or I think it even says in Alexander's Feast, hear the organist plays a fugue, which is really quite a thing to leave out, I think. The adagios, sometimes they're sketched, and really you have to add, I would say, maybe 20 or 30 times the amount of notes that Handel has actually given you in the out-sketch. And for the orchestra, too, there are many places where things are omitted or where one fills in the figures. So really, it's a tremendous editing job playing and preparing a Handel concerto.
But the results have always been worth the effort. And Anthony Newman takes up Handel's challenge today, performing two concertos in concert with all sorts of dramatic and colorfully extemporized embellishments. Tony is an irrepressible fellow, as you'll discover, when he's not playing or conducting or figuring out some musicological angle. You might find him teaching or even writing some of his own music. All facets of his extraordinary talent will be explored today as we hear him in works by Bach, recorded in Poland and New York City, in recital in Naples, Florida, in a duet with his wife, Mary Jane, and in the embrace of Mr. Handel, one intrepid interpreter paying active homage to another. An exciting encounter with Anthony Newman at large. Stay with us. I'm Michael Barone, and you're tuned to Pipe Dreams. Anthony Newman came on the scene in the 1960s, promoted as America's young guru of Bach. His quiet, self-effacing manner stood as interesting contrast to his mind-bogglingly incandescent virtuosity. No one has ever accused Tony of playing in a leaden or dull style, and even if he has gotten older, his fingers don't seem to know about that. They perform with the same astonishing felicity today that surprised us more than a quarter century ago. And Bach is still Tony's meat, or perhaps more appropriately, his vegetables. He is vegetarian, I think. And it is with Bach, with which we begin, a recording made recently by Anthony Newman at St. Benedict's Monastery in Lyonsk in Poland. We combine three pieces in G, two preludes, and a fugue for this celebratory opening. Anthony Newman and Bach. the Anthony Newman approach to Bach in recordings made at St. Benedict's Monastery in Lejansk in Poland from a Helicon compact disc. The high-pitched cymbal register of the organ was used to particular effect. Parts of this ornately decorated instrument date back to 1623. Tony and his engineer recorded 24 major Bach works in three late-night sessions, contending with power outages, bats, phone calls from crabby, sleep-deprived neighbors, and a number of other distractions. Imagination faces many challenges. And there are challenges aplenty arising when you approach the organ concertos of Handel. 16 delicious opportunities for decisive indecision.
Absolutely. I think that the most terrifying moments are in Handel, where it says, here the organist plays an adagio, or I think it even says in Alexander's Feast, here the organist plays a fugue, which is really quite a thing to leave out, I think. There are also many passages where it says ad libitum, and so one simply adds, I think, a certain amount of bars. I think Handel showed us in the A major concerto the amount of bars that he would generally add, which was usually around 10. So I try to keep it to about that amount. And then there are many other things that have to be fleshed out. The adagios, sometimes they're sketched, and really you have to add, I would say, maybe 20 or 30 times the amount of notes that Handel has actually given you in the out-sketch. And this particular one, we have an organ roll from an organ barrel from the Earl of Bute, which has, I think, something like 10 pieces of Handel and 10 pieces of Vivaldi on these various barrels. And the most interesting thing of all is that they all have timing, so that we actually know what the tempis were, at least for this man's instruments. And I believe that a student of Handel actually prepared his own works for these barrels. So the tempo for the Allegro of the G minor is 147 to the quarter. Just for fun, we're trying to keep it at that.
Wow, that's fast.
And it is quick.
Just to clarify, an organ barrel is not a shipping crate in which an organ is sent.
That is correct.
an organ barrel refers to small organs that had player mechanisms that were controlled by these barrels that had pins in. And what you're saying is that the way these old player organs worked and the tempos that were set into these organ rolls, these barrels, are what you're using as models for your performance here.
That's right, exactly.
So let's listen as Anthony Newman plays the huge Visser Roland pipe organ at the Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, in concert with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. This is Handel's Concerto No. 1 in G minor from Opus 4.
Thank you. Thank you.
music fit for a king, the king of instruments, certainly. That was Handel's Concerto in G Minor, first in a collection of six Handel concertos published as his Opus 4 in 1738, a London newspaper reporting on a performance of the oratorio Alexander's Feast, which included that organ concerto, observed His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales commanded Mr. Handel's concerto on the organ be repeated. Handel himself was soloist for those first performances, which set a new trend. They were crowd pleasers then, organ concertos, and they remain so today. Anthony Newman, our soloist and conductor with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra in concert on the mighty Visser Roland pipe organ at the Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, the largest mechanical action instrument in all of the United States, I believe. A bit more organ than Handel ever had at his disposal, that's for sure. Though we will be back later with an organ maybe a little more appropriately proportioned to Handelian work. Another Handel concerto and many other surprises coming up. I'm Michael Barone with Anthony Newman at large on this edition of Pipe Dreams. Back to Bach briefly with a movement from Bach's sixth trio sonata, Anthony Newman playing on the Rieger organ at Holy Trinity Episcopal Church in New York City, recording on the Newport Classic label. Tony has done recordings of quite a bit of Bach in his career, though it seems that as soon as he gets a chunk finished, he changes record labels and starts out all over again. Not that he neglects other less trodden byways. In fact, our next piece was, until recently, totally unrecorded. It is an organ duet by Johann Georg Albrechtsberger, was organist at the Imperial Court in Vienna, remembered, if at all, as teacher of Beethoven. Well, let's not be prejudiced. This is a very decent little piece. Husband and wife, Anthony and Mary Jane Newman, perform on the 1993 Russell organ at the Presbyterian Church of Mount Kisco, New York, Prelude and Fugue in C for organ four hands, with an occasional foot thrown in. Music by Albrecht Sperger. Not your everyday occurrence, two musicians playing organ four hands, a prelude and fugue for organ duet by Albrecht Sperger from the 1780s. Anthony and Mary Jane Newman, they're exploring a curiosity from 18th century Vienna. Each country and each generation seems to evolve its own attitude about the pipe organ. French Baroque composers weren't perhaps so contrapuntally compulsive as were the Germans and Austrians, but they surely loved color, in particular the color of the trumpet stop, which gets shown off in a variety of emotional contexts in a little suite which Tony Newman has put together and performs here in recital on the Cassavant organ of the Philharmonic Center for the Arts in Naples, Florida.
Thank you.
recognized some of those tunes, I bet. A suite of 18th century French trumpet tunes by Marchand, Clarambeau, Lully, and Moret, arranged and played by Anthony Newman in concert at the Philharmonic Center for the Arts in Naples, Florida, which is one of the slowly growing number of enlightened modern concert halls in the United States, which includes a pipe organ. Well, more brassy music to follow. This is Anthony Newman's own Grand Intrada in C, rambunctious and energetic. Grand Entrada in C major, supercharged music by a supercharged composer-performer. We're listening to Anthony Newman in concert there at the Philharmonic Center for the Arts in Naples, Florida, instrument by the Cassavance Company. As a composer, Tony has written all sorts of pieces, a huge oratorio on religious texts, which includes in its orchestration a bagpipe, a set of piano preludes and fugues in all of the keys, a set of organ preludes and fugues in the 12 keys, a beautiful viola concerto, and other orchestral works. Plus, much for the organ, of course. Consider these two, which are kind of on the other side of the energy spectrum from what we've heard so far. Setting of the devotional hymn, Come Sweet Death, and after it, a so-called angel song, Is There Any Care in Heaven, which comes from a larger work in progress, The Lives and Times of Angels. Danielle Strauss will be soprano. Anthony Newman plays more of his own music. First, this chorale prelude. asking a question which some of us might have wondered about. Is there any care in heaven? This is one of the angel songs from Anthony Newman's oratorio, The Lives and Times of Angels. Danielle Strauss was soprano Anthony Newman accompanied and played his own subtle setting of the devotional hymn, Come Sweet Death, showing the compositional side of our multifaceted artist. I'm Michael Barone with Anthony Newman at large on this edition of Pipe Dreams. If you'd like more information about our programs, check out the Pipe Dreams homepage on the Minnesota Public Radio website. We are at www.mpr.org. Or write for a current program listing. Send a stamped self-addressed envelope for the return mail. Pipe Dreams, 45 East 7th Street, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101 is our address. Don't forget that stamped self-addressed return envelope. The address again, Pipe Dreams, 45 East 7th Street, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101, and the MPR website at www.mpr.org. A bit of Cuprown harpsichord music transformed, played on the flute stops of the Philharmonic Center for the Arts Cassavant pipe organ in Naples, Florida. Anthony Newman is our amiable guest today, ready now for another Handel organ concerto. Tony, some people are of the opinion that Handel should be given credit for inventing the organ concerto. Would you agree?
Oh, what a difficult question to ask. Woof!
Well, come on, you're the musicologist.
Obbligato organ writing. Well, you know, it's very rare. I think there are some Italian examples. I cannot cite them at the moment. Of course, there are Bach examples. There are about six from cantatas. But the instrument, I think, was generally unwieldy as far as combinatorial possibilities, so that when Bach used it in combinations, I think it was for a special event. I think one was that little organ outside of Leipzig that he went to dedicate the Silbermann organ. Do you remember where that was? In some little
Rota?
Town, Rota, or one of those places where he wrote a cantata and then had some obbligato writing. There are some Italian examples, and I wish I could come up with the name of obbligato organ writing, but I cannot put my finger on it right now.
Well, there's Vivaldi's Some and Martini and even a guy named Pellegrini.
Well, there you see, you know more than
I do. Well, I can remember that because he works in radio. But what's interesting is that these were written actually for the intermissions
of operas.
Of operas, and we think of intermission as the time when people don't pay attention mm-hmm. to what's going on, and so here was this extra attraction, and it was really very hot stuff.
It was very hot stuff, and people expected to hear, you know, something really brilliant from him. These audience favorite things were very specific, and I think that Handel must have been a complete genius at making them sound terrific.
I think it was April 1739 that Handel presented a new oratorio in London, Israel in Egypt, and with it he introduced a new organ concerto, which proved to be a favorite with English audiences, though it wasn't published until after Handel's death, by which time it had gained a nickname, the Cuckoo and the Nightingale. That's the piece we're going to hear. Is it going to be hard for us to tell why this nickname has been acquired by this piece, Tony?
No, it really does have little cuckoo calls. Not unlike Dakin and his little piece called The Cuckoo, and Rameau wrote a piece called La Poule. It seemed to be sort of fashionable to write these little bird pieces. And I think this is one of his most successful and enchanting pieces. I must say it's a piece that never fails to please everybody. It's just the sweetest little charming work. And I don't know whether he wrote it with that point of view of enchanting somebody. He may have, or he may have just written it as a piece that, you know, incorporated this as a kind of popular persuasion. But it is a large-scale work in the sense of movements. I think there are five instead of the traditional four, plus the improvised organ movement. So it has quite a large-scale feeling to it. And the last movement is very bravura, with much, much invertible counterpoint and complexity that you wouldn't expect as an on-track piece for an opera.
Now, the organ that you're going to be playing here is bit different from the big one that you performed upon earlier. This one actually travels with the orchestra as needed. Very basic mechanical action, not too different from the instruments that Handel might have had access to in the orchestra pits of the theater where he played.
A Vandalen, a very sweet little instrument, five stops, split keyboard, 8-4-4-2 mixture. Very cute, sweet little sound that the instrument makes. We have to be careful about balances with it. All the notes are on there to play the piece, and I think that it will make a nice effect. A very charming contrast to the big organ sound.
So, here is Anthony Newman, again, along with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, for more music by Handel, Concerto No. 13 in F, The Cuckoo, and The Nightingale.
Thank you. Thank you.
Magic Fingers of Anthony Newman, who has been both organist and guest conductor of the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra in that performance of Handel's Concerto No. 13 in F major, with the picturesque nickname The Cuckoo and The Nightingale, aptly descriptive, I think, and a real crowd-pleaser from day one. Anthony Newman, a rather interesting fellow, a student way back when of Alfred Cortot, Nadia Boulanger, Pierre Carcharo, and George Faxon, now himself head of the graduate music program at the State University of New York at Purchase, active as a recitalist, composer, conductor, and accompanist. Always on the go, always with new thoughts, new perspectives. Anthony Newman, at large? You bet, and I look forward to our next encounter. You've been listening to another program in the series Pipe Dreams, which is devoted each week to some further exploration amidst the ever-fascinating realm of the king of instruments, the pipe organ. Thanks to Walt Tinas in Naples, Florida, and Alan Strickland in St. Paul for providing concert tapes. Also to the players of the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra for allowing their performances to appear here today. And to Anthony Newman for his infectious enthusiasm and music making. Our program was made possible by a gift from Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, by a grant from the Mayhad Foundation, and by your support of this station. Take nothing for granted. Do your part. Spread the word and tune in here for good sounds, of which there can never be too many. Arranged for organ, brass, and percussion, Haydn's hymn Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, with Mary Jane Newman conducting the Collegium Antiquum Brass and Anthony Newman at large at the organ. That's it for Pipe Dreams. I'm Michael Barone. Thank you for listening. Thank you. Pipe Dreams is a production of Minnesota Public Radio.
PRI, Public Radio International.